We welcome your ears to episode number 286 of the Triple Option with RBKD. On the horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, streaming live all the time, when and wherever you may be. Live, local, and digital on the Horn app, on Twitch, and at hornfm.com. On today's show, lucky number 37 for Texas baseball. How did Texas football do with Arch Manning in town? And we have ourselves a real-life Jonah and the Whale story. Joined alongside by Lifetime Longhorn and card-carrying member of DBU, he's a mercenary mouthpiece, pop culture critic, and the one they call Blackstradamus. He is also the inventor of the Corona kit. He is Rod Babers. Rod B, how are we doing today?
Doing great. Feels good to be here on a Monday with you guys. How you doing, brother?
Doing all right.
All right. Represent Longhorn Baseball, I see you.
Has to be done.
I see you. Yeah. No doubt.
No doubt. Also feels joined good by a Lifetime Longhorn and Lifetime Austinite. He's so much of a man, they had to take one of his balls away to keep it fair for the rest of us. He knows where your IT guy's IT guy went to college. He is Kevin Dunn. KD, what's going on?
I am doing great. We're going to get into it, and that reminded me of the dish back in the day. Completely electric. I'm glad you're supporting. I'm supporting. I'm glad Texas fans are supporting like that. You got Chris Beard firing off the cannon at the very end of the eyes of Texas. I know what he's thinking. We got to get this across I-35.
Oh, yeah. It'd be nice.
Yeah, I think we can do it.
That was a pretty spectacular environment last night. That was a pretty spectacular environment both nights this weekend at the Dish. Of course, Texas Fight playing in the background to open our show as the Longhorns have punched their ticket to Omaha for the 37th time in school history. We'll be breaking it down and recapping the Super Regional and the entirety of Texas baseball's run to the College World Series. We'll talk Texas football, a massive recruiting weekend here in Austin as well. Plenty to get to. I will be here as well. I'm BK Brad Kellner, and together we are the Triple Option with RBKD. Rocking and rolling from now until 7 o'clock here on the Horn. We appreciate y'all spending some or all of your Monday afternoon with us. Hope everyone had a great weekend. And yeah, if you were at the Dish or watching what unfolded at the Dish, you probably did have a great weekend. Texas is headed to the College World Series once again. They sweep South Florida in the Super Regional. Game one on Saturday night, a thriller, a walk-off winner. Eric Kennedy delivering the walk-off double with two outs in the bottom of the ninth to give Texas a 4-3 win. Last night, the clincher, a lot less stressful, 12-4 the final. The good guys get it done, and the Longhorns swept through the regional. They swept through the Super Regional. It's only the first time that's happened since 2004. And KD, the most storied program in college baseball, adds a little more history.
Yeah, they had a little bit more, 37 times, which is amazing. My whole life, they've led that in terms of getting there, most appearances, most wins, you name it. Now you're just trying to chase USC in that championship thing. And I think about 84, 85, 89, 2004, 2009, and 2010. This could be that trip that would get close to it, but they didn't punch it in. But that's okay. This team has a realistic shot to go do it. There is a feel to this team, a resiliency we've talked about all season long, and they answered it again. So you get the three in the top of the ninth on Saturday. Boom. You get that one with Eric Kennedy, of all people, driving in Silas Ardoin from first to home. I was cool with David Pierce not pinch running. I understand why some of the players thought maybe he should have, but with two outs, you want to keep your main catcher in there, the guy that does such a good job that we've talked about, really handling the pitching staff and is so good defensively that it just played out perfectly. And then South Florida gets on the board yesterday. Texas answers right away. 0-2, 0-5, some of those great teams I just mentioned, none of them answered as much. Maybe it was close, but as much as this team. Rod, when they get hit, they hit right back. There is a feel to this team. They're playing great ball.
You know, coming into the regionals and the super regionals, there was some question as to, you know, how they're going to respond to pressure. We know there's a lot of talent there. Know they got a high ceiling. They just hadn't been in a lot of those situations.
Right.
They had some chances in the Big 12 tournament. Wasn't necessarily the best version of themselves.
Nope.
And even late in the season, had some opportunities to clinch the Big 12 title. And, you know, they really couldn't. They didn't have the clutch hitting, right? They couldn't be clutch at the right moments. You see now clutch hitting from guys, as you pointed out, and I'll give you some credit because you said, man, if they can get some of these guys who have been, you know, they've been working hard all season long, but they haven't had the breakthrough yet. If they can have the breakthrough at the right time, this team could end up being a very special team. They might be having the breakthrough with guys like Eric Kennedy at the right time, right here in the postseason. Antico's another guy. They're getting
Faltini.
Faltini's another guy. Yeah, I'm with you. And that's why it feels special. Why it does feel special, especially what happened over the weekend. I mean, that was the atmosphere alone. You've talked about it, and you came in here really excited about it. It's special. I mean, you want to be a part of it. Even when you're sitting back at home watching it, scrolling through social media and watching the game, you want to be a part of what's going on there with the Texas baseball experience. So it's they're the highest ranked seed remaining in the postseason. The expectations, I think, for them are they believe they're the best team in the country.
Had a Pac-12 coach text me last night as this thing's going on, assistant coach, but has been around college baseball a long time, and he said, that's why that place is the granddaddy of them all.
Mm-hmm.
He was blown away with just how raucous it was. And yeah, you're going to get a lot at Duty Noble, and that's a great crowd. You get a lot at Baum for Arkansas. That's a great crowd. How engaged this crowd is, pitch to pitch, the IQ, the baseball IQ cumulatively of that crowd has always been so good. You saw it again. BK, I have to give you a lot of love because we looked at the numbers in South Florida. Look, there were 500 strikeouts, and their strikeout-to-walk ratio was pretty good. But that crowd did get to them when Jaziak stumbles over himself in the first inning for a balk. And Eduardo Perez said, yeah, these guys haven't seen anything like this. It was a young club. Great job by those guys. And it said a lot. When that thing's over with last night and they're playing the eyes of Texas, you can see those guys looking around and trying to take it all in. This is going to be a good South Florida program. They're better than I thought. I know they lost in two, but the way they answered on Saturday night and then to come out last night, BK, they were just overmatched, and they just weren't taking on those nine.
No. Best season in school history for South Florida.
Yep.
Give them some credit. The players showed fight. They showed class. The South Florida fans who came through were respectful last night, but that atmosphere is second to none. I was there yesterday, and it was spectacular. Unbelievable. The loudest I've ever heard that place. And it was a party. I mean, that game was in hand pretty much from the third inning on. So it was just a 2.5-hour-long celebration. Of course, the folks in left field were getting after it, and they stayed after it well into the morning. And it was really, really good. But you're right, KD. The crowd absolutely made a difference this weekend. And that's what you work for during the regular season, right? We've talked about it all season long, the push to try to get a top eight national seed. So you're guaranteed to host a regional, and you're guaranteed to host a super regional. Winning the Big 12 is awesome, and we're glad Texas did that this year. But more importantly, you get to host this time of the year. Texas did that, and you saw how much of a difference the crowd made in both the regional and the super regional.
Rewatched the game right after. Yes, I'm that guy. I've already rewatched both South Florida games three times total. And yeah, I know it's
good. I need to know what you saw.
Oh, I saw a lot of great stuff, and I'll get into it today. But maybe my favorite thing was how the fans, once again, understanding the situation, gave DJ Petrinski a curtain call.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's about. And I know there were recruits there, either guys who have committed or thinking about it or signees. Major League Baseball offers you a lot. That is where you can have that pull on the other side to say, nah, you know what? 3 years here, I can't replicate that. I'll never get that back, and I want to be a part of that.
That's a good point, yeah. And the emphasis of the family, right, that experience.
Huge.
Yeah, it's huge, and it's unique. I mean, not a lot of programs in the country. I don't know if any can offer what Texas does. I know there are storied programs. I'm not saying they're not. But that connection that they have, that those fans have with that program, I envy it a little bit. I mean, Texas has great football fans, but you're not going to be able to replicate that environment at DKR just because of the sheer size and all the different nuances. But that was spectacular. And to have it all happen when the recruits could be in town, some of the recruits came over to watch it. I mean, it just felt like a Longhorn festival.
Yeah, it's a good way to put it.
And baseball was just like, yeah, I guess it was the main attraction, the concert, but it just seemed like there was so much going on, but yet the game, everybody was still focused on the game and the experience. So, yeah, BK's right. It did seem like it was in hand. I mean, early on, Tristan Stevens, even he said, I didn't have my stuff. But it didn't matter because immediately in the second inning, Texas takes back the lead and never looks back.
Yeah.
So you may have been worried. I guess you had a little stress maybe for the first inning, but that was about it. After that, it became more of a celebration than anything.
That's part of the resiliency that KD talks about. These guys also have each other's backs, right? I mean, if a pitcher's having an off day, well, the bats usually pick him up. If you know the bats aren't there, hey, a pitcher usually goes out and gives you seven or eight strong innings. I mean, just top to bottom, this team is spectacular. And you'd be hard-pressed to find an obvious weakness for this team going into Omaha. I know they had a relatively easy run to get to the College World Series. Out of Texas's control, right? You can only play the teams that are on your schedule. But, man, that was about as impressive as a showing through two weekends of postseason play as you could possibly have. And I don't think this team could be beaming with any more confidence than they are right now.
No, they're going in there, and they are confident. I don't think they're cocky. I think that first weekend will always bring them back to reality and just understanding the sport, that anything can happen. We saw that in Fayetteville. Arkansas did not play their best baseball, and they played it at the wrong time.
I thought they were the Omahawks.
Doesn't
that mean they have to get there?
That means you have to get there, right?
Interesting.
But the Omahorns did.
There you go.
What do you guys think of that bit?
I'm more of the University of Texas at Omaha fan.
I am too.
That's what's on the chalkboard today. I think it's a bad bid by Arkansas to just have that on their stadium 24/7, 365. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. Don't call yourself Omahawks unless you're in Omaha.
Yeah, you should do it as a seasonal thing. Once you make it, then you put up whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like the banner or the whatever it's going to be.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm with you. I'm like, don't do it on days, on years.
It looks really bad because it's right behind home plate.
Yeah.
So everybody sees you. You make the last out, you lose in historic fashion. I mean, NC State was a massive, massive underdog. You know, going into the Super Regional round, NC State and South Florida actually had the same odds to win the College World Series. So that was viewed as if South Florida would have beat Texas, basically a similar upset in stature. And, that happened to Arkansas, which is great. I mean, that helps Texas out a lot. I know the two teams are on opposite sides of the bracket, and I know Texas feels like they can play with anybody in the country right now, and they should, but it's nice when the prohibitive favorite to win the thing isn't in the thing.
Yeah, right. And so NC State's dogpiling, you see that in the back there. But it was a reminder to me of just how hard it is to get there. And the fact that they have been there 37 times is just amazing. I feel very confident that they're going to go up there and give number 7 a real shot. And you look at their bracket, we're going to find out later on as Notre Dame takes on Mississippi State for a winner-take-all. That will be, whoever wins that will be the first game for Texas. But we just filled out the other side of bracket number 2. And Tennessee's playing really good baseball right now. They blew out LSU. They're going to be taking on Virginia, who just beat Dallas Baptist 5-2, had to come back. This was a hell of a game. Some really good defense back and forth, especially 6th, 7th, and 8th inning. And Virginia is one of those programs with Brian O'Connor. They've already won it. They didn't have their best year, but they're going to be up there pretty confident too. Once you get there and you're one of the top 8, you know you're there for a reason. And it may not be because of the way you were playing in April. It's how you're playing right now.
How about a go-ahead grand salami for Virginia in the 7th inning of an elimination game? They were down 2-1 and then a grand slam to give them the 5-2 win over Dallas Baptist. Patriots had a chance to get to their first College World Series in school history, but they don't make it happen. UVA is moving on, and then Texas awaits the winner of Notre Dame and Mississippi State. Game 3, winner take all tonight. How you feeling about your Irish KD? And from a Texas perspective, do you have a preference for who you want the Longhorns to play? I know you want Notre Dame to get there, so you're rooting for them. But
I'm looking at both.
What's better for Texas?
That's a great question. I would probably say Notre Dame, but maybe not for that first game. So Notre Dame, their ace has been out all year long. They were already going to be short on pitching anyway. This team can flat out hit, and especially the last month or two. I mean, you've got Nico Cavadas, who's as good a power hitter as there is, but Jack Bertrand, guys like that, Jack Brannigan, guys like that to go around a lineup that does run. They run a lot like Texas. John Bertrand's a lefty who would probably go for them in that first game, and I've seen him get people off balance all season long. So I'd say Notre Dame, but you know, I'll take either. I looked at Mississippi State's numbers last night. They got a 4 ERA. Their starters aren't as impressive. Mississippi State may be the right answer. They're sexier with their power, but I'm going to just sit back and see how this plays out. Yes, I'm rooting for Notre Dame, and yes, I hope Texas beats them 11-0 in Omaha.
That's good.
You got your priorities right.
I got my priorities right. Yeah. I got 2 kids, like and you know, I'll take care of both, but I like one and even love one a little bit more.
Yeah. That's sad.
It is.
It's true, though.
That's why I'm not a dad.
I think all the parents love their kids all the same, but they do like some kids
they
more
do.
Than they like other kids. That's just the truth.
Yeah.
Can't help it. Human nature.
You could tell KD is not a parent because he just admitted that.
Yeah, exactly.
Most parents will not admit that.
That doesn't exist. Yes, it does.
Yes, it does.
Oh, man. Let's hear from Craig Way. A couple of calls from Seaway that you heard on the horn over the weekend. We'll go back to Saturday night. 3-3 in the bottom of the ninth inning. You know, South Florida got two quick outs to start off the bottom of the ninth. This is after Texas gives up three in the top half of the inning, and the game is tied at three, and all of a sudden South Florida might have some momentum, and if you go to extra innings, a little bit nervous. It was tense at the dish Saturday night, but Silas Ardoin reaches on an error, and Eric Kennedy comes up to the plate with two outs.
First pitch to Eric. Swings here and hits the ball in the nose. This one may go over the head of Pena, the center fielder. It will! The Longhorns are going to win this game! Here comes Ardoin. Say goodnight to it, folks! Game one in the books. It's a walk-off over the head. Extra base hit. A walk-off from Eric Kennedy. And Texas is one win away from going back to Omaha.
Great call.
Chills.
Awesome yeah, call, great call.
Man. Yeah, he's in prime form.
He is.
He's ready to roll.
He is. Pena and Eduardo Nájera.
Hey.
He got me on that. Eduardo Perez, who was doing color, is exactly right. You got to play no doubles at that point. If you got two outs and the game-winning run on first like that, it can't get over your head. I've talked about, though, even knowing that, how difficult that center field and outfield is to play and to get used to. And it's tough on a weekend when Roberto Pena is an infielder. They've had to shuffle a lot of their defensive guys because of injuries and other things this year. And Pena got beat, and there's no way you can get beat there. Give Ardoin credit for going. And how about Eric Kennedy? I've talked about his swing. You could see him thinking about it. He's admitted that it's been a tough year. He's tried to make adjustments. His swing all weekend long, guys, looked like a much more confident, barrel to the ball type swing. And if you get him going, to back up Rod's point, with Faltini, who's hitting seventh, and Ardoin's giving you good at bats at eight, this is a much different lineup.
That was awesome for Eric Kennedy. Hasn't been the year that he's wanted, but to deliver in the biggest moment like that was pretty spectacular. And he roped that ball.
He did.
I mean, he hit that right on the nose, and it went a long, long way. And even catcher speed, Silas Ardoin was able to score from first. That's how well Eric Kennedy hit it. So that's one call from Craig Way about the final pitch last night, game two, the pitch that sent the Longhorns back to Omaha.
From the stretch, the 2-2 pitch, swing and a miss. He struck him out for the 37th time in its history, more than any other school in the nation. The Texas Longhorns are going to the College World Series. The Longhorns defeat South Florida, and they are Omaha-bound in 2021.
A little bit of an audio hiccup there.
That
was not
correct.
Craig Way turning into a robot midway through that call. Although,
well,
knowing him, if anyone can do it, it's probably him.
He lost count because it's just been so many times. It's like, is it 35, 36? 30? No, that was a glitch. We're really lucky, too, because it's not going to get any better than Craig and Keith on a college baseball radio call.
Yeah.
And Mike Monaco and Eduardo Perez, I thought, were really good. I mean, they weren't perfect, but Monaco's a really good play-by-play guy. And if he wants to do that long-term, he definitely can. And Perez kind of gives you just a different feel as a guy who played at Florida State, played in the bigs, and I don't know. I ate it up. I thought everything about this weekend was just fantastic.
It was. No, it was. Shout-out to Occupy Left Field, too, because that was that's a big part of the environment.
It's a
out
huge
there.
Huge part.
Yeah,
hey.
It's a really – I saw CDC taking jello shots
out
there.
Yeah, man.
How cool is
like,
that?
That's how you know you have changed the culture.
Yes.
So take a bow. Take a bow. Be serious. When you can get that kind of connection between the fans and the head of the athletic department, that is that's pretty cool. So, yeah, it was remarkable. It was fun to watch and even follow. Made you feel real proud to be a part of the family. So. Congrats.
I was about 10 feet away from CDC.
When he was taking the jello shot?
I was taking the jello shot.
Yeah, I took one with him.
Nice!
I bet you did.
I was scared. I didn't want that video getting out. I didn't think he wanted that video going out, so I kept my phone in my pocket. But someone posted the video, and he retweets it, and he's like, this is what it's all about.
That's what it's all about.
So we're
jello
we're,
shots.
We're lucky to have Occupy Left Field, but we're lucky to have Chris Del Conte, too, because I don't know if there's any other athletic director in the country that's willing to do something like that. That was badass.
I know who wouldn't. Stevie P.
Stevie P would not. He wouldn't have been there.
OG no, Stevie probably wouldn't.
He would have been working on budget cuts somewhere
Occupy
else.
Left Field probably wouldn't be there either. But Stevie P was still there.
They wouldn't have been able to see it. I know that.
They put a wall over some gun.
Yeah. Oh, man. Rod, this was a great weekend to live in Austin. Everybody is seemingly trying to move to Austin, and we saw why this weekend. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in Austin, who should you hit up?
Yeah, man. Austin continues to be a boom town. It's one of the fastest growing cities in the country right now. We all know it's a great city. Upwards of 160 people move here every day to Greater Austin. That's good news if you're a homeowner. That means more people moving to Austin, more people buying homes. Property values are skyrocketing. Currently, the demand is outpacing supply, turning Austin into a seller's market. So according to the Austin Board of Realtors, the median sales price of a home in Austin right now, $550,000. So right now is the perfect time for you to maximize the value of your most important and your biggest investment. That is your home. Whether you're looking to sell now or later, you can instantly see what your home is worth right now at opendoor.com/myoffer. You can get a competitive cash offer on your home within days. If you like the offer, you can sell directly to opendoor.com. No prep work or showings are required. Just answer a few questions, complete a contact-free video walkthrough, and you can do it all online in just a few easy steps at opendoor.com/myoffer. Opendoor allows you to sell your home by skipping all the hard parts. I visited opendoor.com just curious as to what our home was worth in this current market, and I was blown away by the offer from opendoor.com, and you will be too. So start to sell up your home and learn the current value of your home today at opendoor.com/myoffer. Offer eligibility varies. Open Door is represented by Open Door Brokerage Incorporated, license 0206-1130 in California, and Open Door Brokerage LLC in its other markets. That's opendoor.com/myoffer.
Ty Madden, Cole Quintanilla, both touching 98. That's the other thing. You get that adrenaline going, and you're going to gas it up pretty early. Texas didn't have to use their pitchers for a second straight week. These guys have gotten rest, and now it's on to Omaha. We'll see who they're going to be playing. I like actually both sides. I mean, I think both sides are pretty competitive of the bracket. I think there's three in bracket one that could win this whole thing. NC State could. I'd be surprised. But Stanford's playing really good ball. Arizona's playing really good ball. And if you've got Kumar Rocker and Jack Leiter as your 1-2, you got a chance to win this whole thing. Then on the flip side, you got Texas. We'll see who they're playing. Virginia, I would probably say, is an underdog in this thing, but they got nothing to lose, and those kids go to that program for a reason. And then Tennessee's playing really good baseball right now. Guys, this is going to be fun.
Yeah, Rick
fun
Barnes,
and competitive.
How about that?
Yeah, Rick gave him a pep talk,
he's
just like Charlie
great.
Did.
Yeah. Yeah, Charlie gave USF a pep talk, I think, and that explains the results of the weekend. Texas on to Omaha for the 37th time in school history. We'll be recapping the Super Regional sweep throughout the course of today's show. It's the Triple Option with RBKD alongside the All-American Rod Babers and the UT sports historian Kevin Dunn. I am BK Brad Kellner. We appreciate y'all stopping by for some or all of your Monday. When we return, it wasn't just baseball going on the 40 this weekend. A massive recruiting weekend for Sark and Texas football. Arch Manning was here. We'll tell you what we found out from his visit next.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. Does feel like it's a party going on. A lot of Longhorns celebrating Texas baseball on their way to Omaha for the 37th time. BK, I did notice that to start the show off, you were playing Texas Fight.
Mm-hmm.
You've only done that once this year, right? That's the only time you've done that. It was the only time you've done it for Texas baseball. I'm just saying, like, there've been a lot of sports that have won national titles and stuff. And I don't think you've cut off the opening of the show to play Texas Fight.
I know I did after Texas basketball won the Big 12 tournament.
Okay. But it's weird you pick, you only do it, some people would say you only do it for the money sports.
Mm.
Yeah.
I
know what sells. I know what generates ratings.
Oh, okay, I'm not disagreeing with you on that. No. But I'm just saying in terms of celebrating a team reaching the peak of their sport, the zenith, and you play the Eyes of Texas to celebrate their accomplishment, it seems like you should play it. You played it for the Texas basketball team, and the head coach got fired. Like, so
that's why he was playing it. It's about excitement.
He played it until the day Shaka got fired.
Yeah.
Played the Eyes of Texas when Chris Beard got hired. But you get what I'm saying? You seem to pick you know, when you feel like it's appropriate rather than just playing it when teams actually win. That would be like lighting a tower only when the money sports win, only when Texas baseball.
Which Stevie P would have done.
OG Stevie P might be about that.
I understand what BK's doing.
But everybody should get the Texas fight love, just like you get the tower love if you win at your sport.
Okay.
You get that love.
That's a lot of work for me.
He does enough,
that's
man.
What it. Okay, so you're not justified. You're just saying he you don't want to do it. Okay. I was wondering if you were going to try to justify it and debate me over that. But no, you just said, hell no, I don't want to do it.
No, I don't have the energy.
You just said you're going to, yeah, okay.
I'm hurting today, boys. You guys are going to have to carry the show.
No.
I lost a lot of brain cells.
Was it?
No, man, you did a good job. You're doing a good job, man.
Thanks, man.
I like the opening with Texas Fight. It got me all hyped up, too. I just didn't know why we didn't do it for, you know, other national championship winning programs.
That goes to show you age, though, because I got back. I was traveling and got back probably in the second inning and was busting my ass to get back to Austin. And I thought, okay, I can actually make it there. And then I thought, no, I was like, it's going to be too hot. Let me just enjoy this environment, enjoy it at home. And BK had the balls to be like, no, I'm going to go there and do jello shots with CDC.
He's young.
I know. I admire him, though.
Yeah, going out there.
I should have done
that. Nah, we're old.
Yeah, that's fair. Completely fair.
We sit at home and we watch, and we live vicariously.
That's exactly what I did.
That's exactly what we do.
I'm glad y'all say that, because when people asked me where y'all were, I said they're old.
They're old.
They're staying.
They're old.
They're old. It's just that, and everybody gets like, yeah, they are old. Okay, real quick, we're giving out shout outs to the winning programs on the 40 Acres. I did see this little nugget before we get into Texas football recruiting, which was also big weekend for Texas football recruiting. John Bianco tweeted this out with a 7th place NCAA Outdoor Championship team finish by the Texas Track and Field Women on Saturday. The Texas Longhorn Athletic Department now have 13 top 10 finishes across all sports at the NCAA Championships this season. That's the most in a single season by the Horns since they had 13 in 2002-03, back when the old guys were there.
Yeah.
It's been a while. And I saw this, too, and this is a Reddit. This is at the Reddit College Football Twitter. And they said they were just looking at the Reddit forum to see discussions there. And a Stanford fan put this on the Reddit forum, a bit off topic, but if our calculations over the cardboard are correct, Texas has clinched its first ever Director's Cup.
Sears.
This will make Texas only the third school to ever win the cup and marks the first time the maximum sports rule will cost Stanford a cup win.
Whoa.
Congrats, Longhorns.
That's big.
That is big.
They'd be the first school other than Stanford to win since 1994 if they do, in fact, win a Director's Cup.
Nice.
There you go.
That's cool. I feel like Stanford wins that every year.
They do.
Nobody even pays attention to it.
Yeah.
It's a Stanford award.
I don't even know what the trophy is. Like, do we get an actual cup?
Yeah.
I think it's something.
It's like a Stanley Cup looking thing. Like, do we get the drink out of it?
I don't know. We got to look up how it looks. Nobody. Stanford's got all of them.
Yeah.
Nobody knows how
Do they make extra ones, or do they just keep the same cup there every year?
We get a washing machine from Sears.
Ooh.
Because we won the JCPenney years ago, but that just wasn't as respected. So the reason, and not to bag on Stanford. Stanford is, I think we know how incredible that school is. But they just had more scholarships, and they were in everything. So they had their hand in everything, and with the pandemic, they kind of brought some of that back. Now it's a fair fight.
Yeah, it seemed like a flawed system. Like, the award was meant for Stanford.
Right.
The point system can't reward the team that has the most sports teams.
Yeah.
They're going to win it every year.
Yeah.
Good point.
It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So I've never cared about the Director's Cup, but that shows you the type of year that it's been for Texas. And credit CDC, man. I mean, credit all the student-athletes and all the coaches, of course. But when CDC got here, he talked about wanting to compete in the top 10 in every sports. And that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Less than 4 years into his tenure, and that's proof right there if Texas can take home the Director's Cup.
Big recruiting weekend on the 40 Acres, gentlemen. If you look at the 24/7 composite rankings, Texas had 10 of the top 50 2023 prospects on campus this week, and that does include the Arch Manning and, of course, Reuben Owens, who's already committed verbally to the Longhorns. Mike Roach does a really great job over at Horns 24/7. I'd encourage you to go over there and read his stuff. I'm not going to give away all of the nuggets that Mike has in his Stampede feature, but it gives you the entire breakdown top to bottom of what happened over the weekend in recruiting. He does point out Longhorns got a commitment They did get a verbal commitment from Anthony Jones. Anthony Jones is an athlete from Nevada. He's the 10th commitment in that 2022 class. He can play on both sides of the ball, but Sark has zeroed in on him playing defense. Well, I should say maybe Kwiatkowski is probably zeroed in him playing defense mostly. But he's an athlete, 6'5", 242 pounds. He is the, 567 ranked prospect in the country, but the number 48 overall athlete, number 11 recruit from the state of Nevada, and they believe that he kind of fits into that hybrid, maybe the defensive line role on the outside, that he could grow into either one of those somewhere on the defensive front.
Always interested. We kind of had it with Jatavion Sanders, that when the athlete is bigger, so it's not true. A scat back. It's not, is this guy going to go, not Deshaun Jameson, is this going to play, you know, cornerback, or is he going to be a slot receiver? But he's someone who's pretty athletic and did a lot of different things. But at that size, how does he grow into it? How do you use him, right? Those are the questions.
And looking at edge rusher, that's where they're projecting him right now. But like you said, you get on campus, Jatavion Sanders, I believe before he got on campus, everybody was projecting him to be an edge rusher at the next level. Yep. And he said, I want to play tight end, and they let him play tight end. And I believe Anthony Jones has also expressed some, he wants to explore both sides of the ball potentially.
Okay.
So he does indeed would like to pursue offense, but who knows? Maybe Kwiatkowski can convince him, hey, man, you can make a whole lot of money playing defense for me. But that's good news. So they did get a commitment. My man Mike Roach also points out in the Stampede, really good piece, there are a lot of guys we're talking about who did come to Texas during Tom Herman's time and during his recruiting weekends, either with players or former players themselves. They talked about how the vibe is different, which doesn't surprise me or shock me. I mean, you had a lot of the legendary Lifetime Longhorns come back to campus, helped the Longhorns recruit. Earl Campbell was there.
Yeah.
Derek Johnson.
How about
Young.
That picture that Michael Huff tweeted out on Saturday?
Colt McCoy. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Matthew McConaughey was there hanging out. So yeah, I don't know how you don't get a little starstruck if you're a recruit and you go in there and Earl Campbell's hanging out and VY and Matthew McConaughey are in the circle. Hanging out, they're like, hey, man, come here. And they call you by name. Feels pretty damn cool.
Yeah, and Sark knows all about that when he was an OC at USC.
Yeah.
That's what Pete Carroll did.
Great point. Hollywood culture.
Snoop and all those guys. Yeah. Will Ferrell.
And it was genius.
And it worked.
Because they were a recruiting machine when Pete Carroll was there. So I love it, man. It sounds like it was a really, really successful weekend for Texas. And got to give PK some love for Anthony Jones, because Anthony Jones was once committed to Washington, and he decommitted after Pete Kwiatkowski took the Texas job. And PK is not known for being an ace recruiter, and I'm not saying getting one guy makes you an ace recruiter, but Anthony Jones talked about it. He did an interview with 24/7 Sports, and he basically talked about his connection with Pete Kwiatkowski being the main reason that he decided to commit to Texas. So give PK some love for this recruiting win of Anthony Jones. That's awesome.
Now, he does go by Anthony and not Tony, because if he goes by Tony, he's got a lot to live up to. Different size. Tony Jones, number four, was 4'11", about 100 pounds. No, Tony Jones was 5'6", 5'7", but was a wide receiver here with Brett Stafford and Eric Metcalf and those guys.
Ooh.
He's the one that had the catch in 1987 in Little Rock to beat Arkansas, final play of the game from Stafford, which for me just meant the world as a 9-year-old. The fact that we went up there and actually beat Quinn Grovey, and they did it like that with a pretty anemic offense. So I heard Anthony. I was like, stick with Anthony. If you start kicking ass, we'll go to Tony. No, because then we'll at that point, you can be the best Tony Jones on campus.
No, that's a good point. I agree with you on that. All right, another guy to keep your eye on, keep your ear to the street, and really popular name in the 2022 class is 5-star linebacker Harold Perkins. And he had a visit to USC that was canceled. He's actually he's got Oklahoma as one of his final schools, too. Aggies are trying to get in on him. He's supposed to be a beast. Interesting the way Pete Kwiatkowski is pitching him. The pitch is that they have kind of created this hybrid defender role. Maybe for him, I'm sure Kwiatkowski has a history of it, but what they've pitched him is they call the star role, which consists of Perkins playing a hybrid role of an outside linebacker, off-ball linebacker, and a secondary player. Almost like a nickel slash safety, slash rover, if you will. And I think they just want a guy that's athletic, great football instinct, that can move around. So I like the pitch, though, to pitch to this 5-star linebacker, Harold Perkins. They're pitching him, hey, man, we're gonna showcase you.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how we're going to do it. And there's a big, to me, I think there is right now kind of a void, if you will, about how to approach new age linebackers in the pace and space football world that we live in, right? Some people still want some old school hard nosed linebackers. A lot of people are thinking more go hybrid, turn a safety into an off ball linebacker, today, much like a DeMarvion Overshone. I do think it's all about the pitch. It's all about how you sell it to the young man. They sold it to DeMarvion Overshone. That was smart. This is a great way to sell it. Now, you're not going to be a linebacker. No, you're going to be a hybrid defender.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think that's just a bet.
And it's going to showcase your skill set.
Exactly.
So you get a bigger first check in the league.
There you go. You'll be playing linebacker sometimes. Sometimes you'll be playing safety. Sometimes you'll be moving you around. Sometimes you'll be blitzing. Sometimes you'll be stuffing the run gaps. All those different things. Sometimes you'll be in coverage. So I like the way that Pete Kwiatkowski thinks.
Yeah.
Especially when he's recruiting guys.
That's a good way to sell it, right? You look at Isaiah Simmons, high first round pick last year. Look at what the Cowboys are trying to do with Micah Parsons, high first round pick this year. Those are sort of hybrid guys who are being used in multiple ways. And those guys want to be first round picks. So if you could sell that to them, that'd be huge. And Harold Perkins also, I mean, I feel like he posted every second of his visit to his Instagram story. He had a blast. And apparently
the one with the cake?
They gave, and the gummy bears, too. Yeah. He was a big fan of the gummy bears. So Texas did a good job making an impression on Harold Perkins. And you're never going to say no to five stars.
That's where the infrastructure comes in.
Yeah.
Someone found out that he loves gummy bears.
That's their damn
job. His reaction, it was like, whoa! They know gummy bears.
I didn't tell anybody that.
Right.
Had to go cyberstalk them.
Yeah, you got to do that.
Find that good info.
Hey, if you're taking a girl out.
Cyberstalk
them. Yeah.
Figure it out. No, I'm serious. I cyberstalked my future wife.
How did you know I like Iranian food? Just a guess.
Just a guess.
I found the one in Austin.
Come on, man. Think it through.
You told me you were from Iran.
Well, that too.
Oh.
I didn't say I have to put. I didn't put too much together.
Oh, my bad.
KD, trust me, he's dated the Rainbow Coalition.
Yeah,
he's gotten around. Arch Manning was.
I like my Persian women.
The highlight, highlight recruit of this weekend. They had a lot of big time recruits, and I just said like they had 10 of the top 50 from the 2023 class. But of course, Arch Manning, the most high profile of those. Cooper Manning, his father was with him. A little bit of an entourage with him too, but. Reportedly, based on Mike Roach's report, I would encourage you to go check it out, the Stampede at Horns 24/7. They love the city. No shock. Everybody loves the city. They love the city, but there's a lot of talk that Sark in Texas, if not in the lead for Arch Manning right now, that they are at least in the top. They are seriously in the top three. And based on how the season goes, and nothing's going to change that right now. Because the visit was great. So it's still in the honeymoon phase, right?
Right.
Sark, everybody loves Sark. Everybody loves his system. And what I've been hearing, what could be the tipping point is, even for a lot of these recruits, how they play during the season. Texas plays well during the season and has a good showing. That offense looks good. Texas has a realistic chance at Arch Manning. If it looks bad and they end up being a 7-win team somehow, Texas probably won't have a realistic chance at Arch Manning. That's what it's come down to.
So why I've said this is reminiscent of Mack in 98 and how important it was to get the ball rolling early. And he did, and it led to the class that Rob was part of, which really changed.
Another celebrity quarterback.
Yeah, another celebrity quarterback, too.
He's recruiting two of those, actually. He's recruiting Eli at the time. Eli said Texas was in the lead for his recruitment until David Cutcliffe goes to Ole Miss. And then he changes his mind.
We're on a break. You know what that means? I got to go outside and work on my curveball. Let's give a shout out to Westlake Medical Center.
Shout out.
Sent us a package and they said, RBKD, keep up the good work. Enjoy some balls and try to avoid Tommy John. I'm going to go do that right now. Look, they sent me a lot of footballs, basketballs.
Shout out.
Yeah.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah.
All right. So you're going to monopolize all the balls, aren't you?
Hey, I need them more than you. And you can have a couple bowls.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. And they weren't trying to make that joke. And if y'all were, even better.
Well done.
Double entendre there. Nice way to end the segment. It's the Triple Option with RBKD alongside Kevin Dunn and Rod Babers. I'm BK Brad Kellner. When we return, our countdown to Texas football continues. 82 days away from Texas and Louisiana. We'll give you a list of the best 82s in school history. And since we were gone yesterday, we'll talk about the number 83 as well next. You know you make me wanna shout, kick my heels up and shout, throw my hands up and shout, throw my head back and shout, come on now, don't forget to say you.
Welcome back, Triple Option, RBKD. Love this. There was a lot of shouting going on last night. Was talking with Derek, who was also at the game. He was razzing the second baseman and right fielder. He said that South Florida guys were pretty cool about it, though, that they were taking it all in, which I will back that up with Arizona State and Christian Bladovich, who I talked about, who was smiling when they were getting razzed going down the left field line. You just got to be able to enjoy the experience, and that's part of why you go play college baseball.
And it was an experience.
Yeah.
At the Dish this weekend. It was a phenomenal crowd, unlike anything I've ever seen. I was at the clincher in 2018, but that was on a Monday, and it was during the day. Everybody being lubed up on a weekend night last night was pretty special, man. That crowd was electric from, I can't even say from start to finish, because they started way before the start, and they finished way after the finish of the game. It was cool.
Yeah, and look, Texas is going to have a nice crowd in Omaha, but they're not going to have that type of advantage, and especially with the teams that came in. We saw it with Fairfield. We saw it with South Florida. Pretty impressive. It'd be really nice if we can get some of that energy to DKR and get that more routinely for Sark's first year. We talk about getting the ball rolling. They're going to try and do that. We'll talk a little bit more Texas football, but we are 82 days away from that opener against Louisiana. Hopefully that place will be rocking. 82, guys. We finally get to a receiver number where I got some guys in mind, and I'll start with Rod. You talked about it, the famous quarterback, or his dad being famous, Chris Sims. Well, a year later, we got 3 5-star receivers, and one of the reasons was because of Chris Sims. Yep. B.J. Johnson. When we got B.J. Johnson, that was huge.
It was big. B.J. meant 3 5-star receivers in the same class. That just I'm sure Bama probably has done it. You just don't see stuff like that happening. Now, that's how you know Texas was rolling.
Yeah,
I mean, you get 3 5-stars in one class from the same state. That, first of all, you don't often get 3 5-star receivers in the same state,
right?
And then to get all 3 of them to want to go to the same school, yeah, it was a lot of the excitement about Sims. It started though with Ricky, and then from then the momentum, it just kind of steamrolled, man. It just snowballed. You got Bijan. You don't have Ricky. There was also a picture this weekend with Ricky Williams and Bijan Robinson,
but nice.
Both in suits. Did you see it?
Mm-hmm. I didn't see that.
Oh, man. That was so
and
much.
Bijan has dreads now, right? Or does he
not?
Yeah,
he's got, his hairstyle is strange. I don't know what it is. He did have it at one time. I don't know if he still does. Yeah, I don't, because some of those pictures, some of them are current. I don't keep up with young guys on
and their
social
hair?
Media. Yeah, like, wow. I don't keep up with them on TikTok.
Turn that around on me pretty quickly. Might know.
Why would I know?
Because you keep up with them on social media.
I do.
Oh, sure. You more
yeah,
than,
you're right. I care about my job more than you guys.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Thank
all
you.
Right.
I appreciate it.
Which
all
is right, why you're out there taking Jello shots last night.
Absolutely.
We needed to have someone director. Who experienced it.
I got you.
Maybe Trey can ask him about it tomorrow. He's going to be on with Trey at 2 o'clock.
Bijan?
No, CDC.
Okay. I was like, not Ricky, because Ricky blocks Trey on Twitter.
Yeah.
That would be a hell of a gift for Trey. All right, another number 82. Shout out to BJ Johnson, by the way, who is one of the co-owners of MVP Vodka.
Okay.
Him and Roy Williams.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. They actually, man, they're two very entrepreneurial spirits, both of those guys. They got their hands in a lot of stuff. Very successful guys, though. All right, moving on. Brendan Eagles, of course, most recently.
Started at 82. And moved to 13.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that wasn't good for him. He should have stayed at 82. I don't know if it was. Yeah, I guess he was better at 13.
Was he doing much at 82?
No. Yeah. He's with the Cowboys right now, though.
Okay.
So wish him the best of luck. Yep. I was a little surprised he'd go there, but from what I've heard, he actually hasn't been, terrible there. So he's making a good impression, at least.
Cool.
But there are 90 guys still on the roster. So.
Yeah.
Who hasn't been cut yet. So, yeah, honeymoon phase. Everybody looks great.
And they're pretty deep at receiver.
They're maybe the deepest team in the league in receiver. So, best of luck to my man, Brendan Eagles. Jeff Swaim, gentlemen, remember that? Jeff Swaim.
Yes. Great.
Still in the league.
Jeff Swaim. And who would have thought that guy would still be in the league?
Still in the league. Who is he with now? Jacksonville? No, it's not Jacksonville.
He was there last year.
Yeah, so somebody else now,
though.
He
got hurt.
I just saw this. Oh, I'm mad at myself. Anyway, I just saw what Jeff Swaim ended up. Maybe he's still a free agent, though. No, he's with somebody.
Tennessee!
Yeah, because they got rid of Jonnu Smith, and now they actually are looking for a tight end.
Is that right? It is Tennessee?
Yeah, you're right.
You're right.
Good call.
Well done.
We're number 87 for them.
Yeah, okay. Good job. So Jeff Swaim, shout out, man.
And he fits perfectly with what they do as a scheme.
He's another tackle out there.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's just going to block for Derrick Henry.
About Mr. Roll Left himself, Derrick Lewis. On the receiving end?
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
That was a big catch.
Big catch, and one of the things I loved about that was in St. Louis, he looks up, and he's got Jamal Williams, I believe, flagging him down.
It's a standard football name. We'll go with that.
It is either Jamel or Jamal. And he looks up and he sees, you know, this is back then, this was still kind of new. He's got the video board and they're showing it. And he looks up and he sees that he's right behind him. And so he cradles the ball to make sure he doesn't get stripped.
I can see that.
Awesome. That is awesome.
That mm-hmm. is great.
I think the best 82 in school history is Corby Robertson.
Mm-hmm.
He's an All-American linebacker in the 60s. He's a Hall of Honor guy. I believe he's the only Hall of Honor guy to ever don the number 82. So
that's your guy?
Shout out to Corby Robertson, man.
Good call on that, BK. Yeah,
thanks.
And that's when linebackers were wearing 82.
Yeah.
They hadn't really decided what positions were going to wear what back then.
I mean, linebackers weren't wearing that when we were kids. maybe like John Roper would wear 80 or something like that, but it didn't happen a lot.
Should we bring that back? Nobody likes the 80s anymore, man.
No, what happened to the 80s?
Receivers don't like the 80s anymore. We're done.
Dreadful decade.
It was a great decade. A fantastic decade.
It was a big decade for y'all, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a huge decade.
I'm an 80s baby.
Growing up. We are.
Yeah. 83, by the way, was yesterday. Kai Money. What are our expectations for Kai Money this year, guys? Do we think he contributes?
He's in the 2D.
Just be solid.
Yeah. He was the leading receiver during the spring game, and obviously Tom Herman loved him. He was on the field a lot in important times last year, I think more than any of us would have liked. But I don't know. Maybe he's one of those guys who just works hard, does everything right, and finds a way onto the field.
You know, you guys know where Kai Money is from? His hometown? He's the only guy I ever remember playing at Texas in any sport. That is from this city.
I'm not going to get that.
I like this city a lot. I love this place.
I love this place.
Padre?
He's from South Padre.
How about that?
Wow. Yeah.
And if you go to Blackbeard's, there's actually a jersey that he has signed. And I saw it, and I was asking the general manager, I go, hey, man, why do you guys have a Kai Money signed jersey here? And he said, Kai's from here.
Wow.
That's
dope. I was like, he's from the island? He's like, yeah, he was born on the island, ended up going to a private school that's like an hour or 45 minutes away. But yeah, first guy I've ever seen from South Padre playing for Texas.
That's a hell of a factoid right there.
Hmm.
I did not know that.
Did not know that either.
Shout out Kai Money.
So Kai Money, number 83. Mike Adams, or 83. Great receiver here.
Yeah, Mike Adams was awesome.
Mike Adams is one of the top five receivers ever here.
I think when he left, he was third.
He might be.
Right.
In receiving yards.
And I'm just giving you my top five of I'm not sure where he is in receiving yards, but yeah, he would have been probably top three whenever he left.
You're obviously about things all changed. Time.
All time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And had a big time knee injury where he didn't have the same explosivity. But I've talked about the 21-21 tie against number 6 Syracuse. Texas was unranked. That was a tie we actually liked. I mean, it still hurt, but that was Mike Adams on a kick return, almost took it all the way back, took a punt return back for a touchdown. I mean, it was the Mike Adams show.
No, when I actually came back to school, me and Mike Adams used to work out. We would go work out and run routes, and I would just guard him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, against air. It was pretty fun. I got to know Mike really well. Mike is a really good dude. Now he's a coach. He's an offensive coordinator for a local high school. I can't remember it right off the top of my head. Hmm. Yeah.
Nice.
Just
so
like,
there you go.
Yeah. And we didn't talk about this, but D. Lucy, Florida tight ends coach?
I think he's at Florida.
I think he's at Florida. Remember, he was there with, is Bruce still there? Bruce moves around so much. Coach Tim Brewster?
He does.
Which conference is the best?
I know, he moves around. He's a mercenary, man. It's hard to keep up with Bruce, but yeah, I believe he's still at Florida.
Unreal. Yeah. There you go, 82 days away from Texas Longhorn football. We'll take your thoughts, 337-3776. Did we miss anybody? The best 82s and 83s in school history. Coming up next, it was a massive weekend on the 40 acres. Texas baseball punches their ticket to Omaha. Texas football had a bunch of high-profile recruits for the class of 2022 and the class of 2023 on campus. We'll speak with our man Jeff Howe of Light the Tower next to recap all of it.